on the line, we have Durian Fentel. He might be able to give a bit more of an introduction of himself, but he is an activist with Sinn Féin, who's currently based, I think, in Denmark at the moment. And so we have him on the line to talk about the recent results of the Irish elections, which actually still appears to be a kind of story that keeps developing kind of every day. So we'll kind of get the current up-to-date news from him. Good morning, Durian.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Yes.
So, Durian, why don't you get a start, maybe just for a bit of background, I guess, what is sort of the significance, can you tell us a bit about the significance of the kind of breakthrough of Sinn Féin in the recent sort of Irish elections?
Well, I mean, this is, the word revolution of the ballot box has been thrown around in similar terms. The background to the Irish political system, I guess, is probably the most relevant thing here. Irish politics has been dominated in the south for 100 years since, or nearly 100 years, by two parties, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, who were the opposing sides of the Civil War. And they've had a little cosy cartel between them of sharing government. This is the first time that a party sort of outside of the establishment has really broken through. In the past, Labour has gone quite strong, but they've gone into coalition with one or either of these parties. Sinn Féin is, on the other hand, seen as very much a threat to this establishment, and in fact is a threat because of the policies we put forward and the plans we have for uniting the country and bringing about some real social change.
And what is the sort of, I guess, the political kind of program that kind of Sinn Féin kind of ran on this election? And I guess what is sort of, actually, we'll lead into that next question after actually by talking about what is sort of the program that the Sinn Féin ran on?
Well, I mean, you'd probably describe it as a fairly social democratic looking thing. And that's, I think you have to take into account the situation in, well, across most of the EU where neoliberalism is fairly dominant. Ireland 10 years ago was suffered from the economic and financial crash, and austerity has been in play for all that time between these two major parties imposing that on people. So in terms of turning that around, you know, calling for a full-scale social revolution isn't really on the cards, but what the program actually contains meets the immediate needs of people. Or especially working people in Ireland. So there's a call for 100,000 new affordable social and public houses to be built. Tax cuts for people earning up to 30,000 or for the first 30,000 earned. A 3-year rent freeze, because one of the biggest issues, especially in Dublin, but also in other areas of Ireland in the south as well, is the question of rent costs. And I mean, 50% of 18 to 30 year olds in the Republic of Ireland, are living at home with their parents because they simply can't afford to move out by themselves. The rental stress is unbelievable. There are over 10,000 homeless people. The numbers are updated every week, but it's 10,000 consistently. Four of them have died in the past 8 days from the cold and from exposure and the rest of it. So, I mean, the situation is dire for a lot of people. There's also questions of the pension age, which the government wanted to increase to 67. So we're calling for bringing it back to 65, and then investment in health. So the two biggest issues for the electorate, according to the exit polls, were housing and health. And on each of these, Sinn Féin had progressive, needs-based policies, and the two major parties were discontinuing the status quo and congratulating themselves for doing so.
Yeah, I guess the question that raises is, I guess, in terms of one of the things that Sinn Féin has been known for has been that it's been always been a consistent advocate for a united Ireland. And I kind of wanted to hear what is sort of, following this kind of election result, what is sort of the prospects in terms of like a united Ireland? What has Sinn Féin kind of planned to do? Because clearly it gets a lot of its base, of its support, a lot of its members are part of this sort of the Irish sort of Republican movement. And so what is sort of what is the situation currently as of this kind of recent electoral result?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, although for us, our are, it's almost the reason for existence. To unite Ireland, get the Brits out of the north, and bring about a 32-county democratic socialist republic. In the exit polls, only 1% considered Brexit to be an issue. And we didn't campaign too heavily on the issue of United Ireland, because everyone knows that that's our position anyway, and we focus more on the social issues. But Brexit has really brought the issue to the fore, because the north of Ireland, in the Brexit referendum, voted to remain in the EU, despite its limitations, and are being dragged out against their will. And we're now seeing poll after poll in both the north and now the south showing that a majority of people would be willing to vote in favour of a united Ireland in a referendum. And we think that there needs to be a vote on this within 5 years. But before this, there needs to be a planning for this, a discussion which involves all parts of the community, north and south, the loyalists as well as the Republicans, in order to build a new Ireland which isn't based upon the same old golden circles and elites, but includes all the different backgrounds into one united republic.
Is it that a referendum, would come about in the next couple of years? And how do you think that, say, England will handle that?
You're very very faint there. So I think I heard you. How likely that it'll come about?
Yeah. Ask the question.
I'm
again.
So sorry. We had a bit of a technical issue here. So how with the referendum, how likely do you think it might be to actually happen in the next couple of years? And how do you think that Britain will handle that?
Well, this is, I guess, the biggest opportunity that the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, which is sort of the peace deal in the North, provided us was the right to have a referendum, but also one of the biggest limitations in that the power to call that referendum still lies with the British government. So while the support is increasing for this. And we would probably win it if there was a properly held referendum in a couple of years and we discussed the pros and cons. The British government ultimately has the final say here. So if the Irish government were to go to them and also go to the EU and get Europe to apply pressure to the Brits, then the chances are much higher. And I've been working for the past 4.5 years in the European Parliament on the Brexit issue, amongst others, but largely on Brexit. And one of the biggest issues that Brexit faces, the English basically, which are the votes were for Brexit, not the Scots or the Irish or even the Welsh, to be fair. The biggest challenge that they face in actually making this thing work is the fact that there is a border, a land border, across the middle of Ireland, and the Britain lays claim to the north. That means that if they leave the single market, if they leave the customs union with the EU, there have to be checks and controls. And the big battle for the past 3 years has been, are those checks and controls going to be in the Irish Sea, where they belong, or are they going to be across the island of Ireland, which could also provoke hotheads to restart the violence or step down that path. So really it is in the interests of the Brexiteers across Britain and also in the interest of the EU at large to resolve the British border in Ireland question. What's missing at the moment still is political will and sort of an opportunity to bring this about. So what we're trying to do at the European level is to keep this on the table, keep this at the centre of any Brexit discussions, because while Brexit has officially happened, so to speak, the future relationship is still to be negotiated, and we want to make sure that the question of the border in Ireland is at the heart of this discussion going forward.
Another question I'd like have and is basically in terms of this kind of electoral kind of result, there's clearly a very kind of strong showing for the left. But I kind of wanted to know what have been some of the campaigns and sort of struggles that have sort of underpinned sort of Irish politics in terms of the past few years, and would they, in a sense, some of these social struggles be reflected by the electoral result?
Yes and no. I mean, I think what's certainly on show here is that there is a will for change, that people are fed up. Because 10 years ago, when the crash happened, Ireland ended up paying the Republic ended up paying 42 billion euros in banking debt, plus an entire pension scheme of another 18 billion. The economy was wrecked and ruined. 10% of the population migrated. There's a literal decimation of the population, mostly young people, who are, a lot of whom are not coming back. And then through the austerity measures that were brought in, there were attempts to privatize the water. There were a series of other sort of right-wing austerity attempts. And the water campaign in particular brought about a massive, massive resistance. Hundreds of thousands of people on the streets regularly, month after month. And we won that battle. And there have been other things that have come here and there, but I mean, it's probably the best example. And over this time, people have just gotten sick of it. They've gotten fed up, and they're looking for something new and different. And quite frankly, if we can't form a government now, we may end up going to another election. If we do form a government now, we have to deliver, because there's a section of the population who are living on the edge, and they don't have time for playing political party games either. It's a really dire situation. Like there are 230,000 children in the Republic of Ireland living in poverty. That's one in five children. I mean, these struggles that have popped up from time to time over the past decade, they reflect what's going on underneath. There is an economic recovery that's taking place on the figures. The GDP is up, the profits are up, and that's not trickling down to anybody.
Yeah. It sounds like the situation's pretty dire. I've got a couple of questions. So firstly, on the actual point of forming a government, if you could actually give us an idea of how likely that is and what the kind of political machinations you'll need to do in order to actually achieve that. And also, with the election of Sinn Féin, what does that mean to the average Irish person? How will their life change? And how will it change for the better if it's going to change for the better?
Right. Well, the complicated and slightly nonsensical system that we have to deal with here is probably it would take a little of explaining, but I won't. I'll try and summarise it. Effectively, we've got three major parties all sitting at more or less the same number of seats. There's 180 seats in the Dáil, which is the parliament, and you need half of them to form government or something approaching it for a minority government. We have the most. Equally with Fianna Fáil, who are sort of a centre-right party, with 37. They technically have 38, but one of them is the Speaker of the Cinn Chorála, the Speaker of the Parliament, so 37 apiece. And then Fine Gael, is the Conservatives, they've, I think, 35, so a couple less. And then you've got the Greens on 12, Labour on 6, Social Democrats 6, a dozen and more independents, and then the five Solidarity People Before Profits of the far left. No real formula of that for our preferred option, which is a left alliance, excluding Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. Nothing seems obvious off that, but if one of the major parties abstained, gave us a confidence and supply kind of situation, we could form a minority government with Sinn Féin and the, broadly speaking, left and the Greens. But both major parties are incredibly hostile towards Sinn Féin. So, that's unlikely to take place. But also they're hostile towards each other. I mean, these are two parties who 100 years ago fought a civil war, and the only reason they exist is to oppose one another. So there is talk about a grand coalition sort of option between them and maybe the Greens to make up the numbers. Again, not likely, but possible. And this can go on for a while. In 2016, the negotiations took 76 days before a government was formed. And even then, it was a minority government with a tolerance, confidence and supply kind of situation. So we could end up waiting for a couple of months for a solution here. I don't think it will take that long. But I think the real challenge now is finding a formula that works numerically and then works politically. And the only two options that really stand out are this grand coalition of the right or a minority left government. There's a third option, which is Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil. And we've always said we're open to discussing and talking with everyone about forming government, and we remain that way. But it would have to be on a Republican program, a left Republican program of real social change and investment and rights. And they have repeatedly said that they're not willing to engage with us on that. We'll keep trying and talking, but it's unlikely, which means then an election is probably on the cards. And even if we did have a minority government, we'd probably have an election within a year or so afterwards anyway. And that's interesting because the polls are now showing that if there were a fresh election, we would get 35% of the vote, which is as much as both the other major parties combined. But only 17% of the electorate want new elections. People want a government that will actually, you know, bring about change and actually get to work on fixing housing, on fixing the health system, on fixing schools and education and, you know, and the environment and bringing the pension age back down and those kind of things. So that's our priority right now, is trying to form that government. And if we can't, then we go to the polls again and maybe go better. How would it change? I mean, I think that's it depends, first of all, if we have to go into a coalition government with someone to our right, because then you have to make compromises. We prefer not to do that. Our manifesto, as I've already said, contains, you know, socially progressive calls and policies. We're discussing with people in the relevant government departments to set out a program for government, which would spell out what exact policies these would constitute to make them happen. But a three-year rent freeze, a tax rebate on rents as well, because the rents are already too high, restoring the pension age, investing in probably universal health care and coverage, and thousands of new nurses, cutting the waiting lists. There's one of the austerity taxes from the past 10 years, it's called the USC, the Universal Services Charge. It's become a central part of the taxation system now, but our first step to, you know, removing it as a burden is to remove it from the first 30,000 euros earned. So for people on low income, that's most or all of their income. So they will not have to pay this excessive austerity tax, and effectively pushing it towards being a rich tax or a middle and upper class tax. But the centerpiece, I guess, which has really given us the boost, is the call for new housing and new homes. That's 100,000 in 5 years, and that's a combination of affordable housing on the private market, social and public homes, and a full mix, you know, rent to buy, all the rest of it, and just giving people the options depending upon what their needs are and where they live and how they'd like to live. Because at the moment, nothing in the recovery will mean anything, no policy will mean anything until we solve the housing and the homelessness crisis.
Absolutely. And I mean, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you. I know that it's early days, but how is the negotiation between, say, the Greens and the Solidarity People Before Profit, you know, seats? Is there much promise there? Do you think that there might be that left minority government? And I mean, I'm guessing in this situation that you face, that would probably be the most ideal situation in order to put forward these progressive, you know, policies. How do you think it's going at the moment, if you can give us a current analysis?
Well, I mean, actually just half an hour ago or an hour ago, there's just the Dáil met for the first time since the election, and they re-elected the Speaker, and then held the first votes on electing a possible Taoiseach, which is like the Prime Minister to the Leader of Government. And Fine Gael put up the existing Taoiseach. He lost with only 36 out of 180 votes. The leader of Fianna Fáil got 41. Mary Lou McDonald, who's the leader of Sinn Féin, received 45. And the Greens put up their leader. He only got 12. And so we have the most support in this. And five of those votes were from Solidarity People Before Profit. So they announced before the event, before the meeting of the parliament was convened tonight, that they would support us in trying to form this left coalition. And we will continue to try to work with them. And it was a little awkward to begin with, because at first they would only negotiate separately. So they're, you know, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but they're an alliance between originally Solidarity and People Before Profit. So Solidarity is like the Socialist Party. People Before Profit is sort of the IST, sort of SWP, Solidarity types. In Australia, that is.
Yes.
And but now they had a split recently, so there's a third group called Rise, which is more eco-socialist. And they were negotiating separately, which made things a little more cumbersome, but they're now being more coordinated in their approach. Look, we get on fine with them. We agree on most of the key policy issues. Where we have a bit of friction is that they want Sinn Féin to reject the possibility of going into government with Fianna Fáil, and to only call for a minority left government. And that's it's a good call to make in the abstract, but when you're on the verge of forming government and potentially with a left wing social program for government to address these kind of major issues, you can't be that exclusive or rather be seen to be that exclusive, because if there is another election, the last thing we want to be doing is, with the support for a new election of only 17%, to be seen to be responsible for that. We want to work with anyone who will sign up to these key principles, which will turn around the austerity of the past 10 years. Fianna Fáil won't do that, but we have to expose them for that and keep talking to them, because there is division in Fianna Fáil, probably three ways, I would say, on this issue. One part of them would prefer to go in with their arch nemesis of Fine Gael, the civil war enemies, over us any time of the week. Another part would like to go into coalition with Sinn Féin in order to suffocate us. So, in politics and war, the only reason you hug someone is to measure them up for the grave, one of the old sayings. So they want to actually just, try and undermine us from nearby and stab us in the back. That's one section. And then a third section is so opportunist, they'll go into government with anyone. And what we need to do is, if we can form government on our terms, form government, because these issues are too important to be left alone. But it has to be on our terms. Yeah. But we can't exclude them out of hand just because we know that most of them aren't going to be open to that. And so that's where the biggest friction has, I guess, come. But look, we're on the same side, and we're going to keep working with them and negotiating with them over the coming, I hope not more than weeks, but we'll see.
Hmm. All right, we're going to be finishing up this interview now. Do you kind of have any final comments you'd like to make?
Yeah, I mean, this is a complicated situation, and it's one that won't go away for a while, not least because the Brexit situation is sort of overhanging all of it as well. And I mean, when domestic elections like this, it's usually social issues. And the social issues, I mean, Ireland is one of the pigs countries, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain, who suffered the worst from the austerity, but still not recovered. Add to that the economic impact that Brexit will have and the social impact that Brexit will have. There does need to be a solution to this. And the solution to this does need to be a referendum north and south of the border on Irish unity, but not just for the sake of uniting Ireland, but for creating a new kind of Ireland with a new system, new social system, new political system, and a new way of running things. Because the old elites, the old golden circles and golden handshakes and all these people at the top and their friends in the media who, every time we get popular, start talking about the IRA and bombs and whatever else and saying nothing about someone freezing in the park without a home. They've been running not only this Ireland into the ground, but the rest of Europe and well beyond. And that's probably the biggest shakeup that we could maybe see out of this, is if Sinn Féin gets government in Ireland. If other things, like what's happening in Spain at the moment, which could be interesting, and elsewhere, if the left across Europe and beyond can get organised and begin to actually take a little bit of power and turn things around, we could see some of the foundations of the current system begin to wobble. Not shatter or shake or fall, but wobble. And the stakes are pretty high at the moment because, as I've spelled out, the dire situation of people in Ireland. So we need this for the people of Ireland, for the long-standing issue of a democratic right to unite the country and free them from 800 years of colonialism and occupation, but also the social challenge that we all face. We have an opening here to expose the contradictions and to take advantage of that for the benefit of ordinary people, and we're going to take it.
Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you, but we are very hopeful that you can effect some change, and we congratulate you on the victory, basically, that you've had. And we look forward to hearing about what happens and watching. Hopefully, we can see the average Irish person actually, lifted out of the lot that they've been faced with for so many centuries. Thank you very much for your time. Yeah.